Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is time to check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I was looking at something you posted yesterday about the Hamas apparent propaganda technique right now, where they're obviously trying their best to stoke hatred against Israel by showing all sorts of very, very tough videos. And it's really heartbreaking to see what's happening to some of the people in Palestine and in Gaza, for sure. But as you pointed out, Russia tried a similar technique with Ukraine using propaganda, but people saw through that. What do you make of what's going on now in those, call them information wars, between Israel and Gaza?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv. And while, yes, many people saw through the Russian propaganda about Ukraine, but not everyone, and, you know, a sizable percentage of people in European countries and even in the United States still believe that, you know, the Russian crazy propaganda that they're trying to denazify Ukraine. And for example, the nation of Slovakia, which borders Ukraine, they have a new government that is pro-Russian, and their new prime minister has said no more aid for Ukraine from Slovakia, a country that has provided fighter jets and other things to Ukraine. The new government says no, and the new prime minister says that you know, the Kyiv regime, which is the way the Russian propaganda refers to the Ukrainian government, that the Kyiv regime is oppressing its people. And once again, that is a complete lie, because Ukraine, especially since that revolution of 2014, is about the people. This is the people wanting to be free. In fact, many Ukrainians were angry at President Zelensky before the full-scale invasion, saying that he was not standing up to Russia enough. And so I think as we look at the propaganda situation in both vis-a-vis Israel and Ukraine, the first thing we have to realize is both Israel and Ukraine, and in very different ways, but they really believe in free speech. I spent a lot of time in Israel, and I obviously spent a lot of time in Ukraine, two of the freest speaking societies I've ever encountered. People they don't like to be silenced. They have things to say, and they'll say it. And they're also pluralistic, diverse societies. You have Muslims in the Israeli parliament. You have a Muslim defense secretary in Ukraine. You have the Jewish president here. Both of these are diverse societies with a free press. And that's why when we read stories, accounts of what's happening in Gaza, even if it is, say, from the BBC, you know, we have to ask questions, because no one who's reporting in Gaza can safely report the truth, because the regime does not allow that. And it's the same in Russia. You know, currently there's a Wall Street Journal reporter still imprisoned in Russia because you cannot speak the truth there. Mm-hmm. Ukraine and Israel are totally different. People do criticize the government. And as I look at, you know, the situation with the new, you know, we have the Republicans selected a new speaker, and the rhetoric about Ukraine, I think one thing that we all miss is that we really fail to ask questions in the West, in America especially. For example, like, okay, we see Hamas attacked Israel, and maybe some people ask, why did they attack? But I don't hear anyone saying, why did they attack now? You know, maybe before we figure out how we react to this, we should question, what is the timing of this? And from the perspective of, you know, here in Ukraine and almost everyone here, you know, these past months, and, you know, since Ukraine has been able to very successfully attack the Russian Black Sea Fleet, nine days ago, Ukraine used those ATACMS, the long-range ballistic missiles from the U.S., to destroy a Russian airbase in occupied occupied Ukraine. And Ukraine is showing, with these long-range weapons, they can really stop Russia. And yet, no one's talking about this. In the Congress, we have people saying, oh, you know, and the new speaker is sort of this school. You know, we need to reduce support for Ukraine. At the very moment when Ukraine is actually the strongest, and Russia has still, we're waiting for something, but they've still been unable to do anything extraordinary in about a month, besides the, you know, small, you know, not small, but the usual terroristic attacks on cities near the front lines. And as I look at the situation, I think of there was the American mystic and poet Thomas Merton. He became a Trappist monk after some wild years in New York City, and he wrote books about sort of his awakening about our American media culture and our public life. And he had this book called New Seeds of Contemplation in the 1960s. And he wrote these words: "Each individual in the mass is insulated by thick layers of insensibility. He doesn't hear, he doesn't think, he does not act, he is pushed. He does not talk, he produces conventional sounds when stimulated by the appropriate noises. He does not think, he secretes cliches." And when I look at so much of the response to all the events happening in the world from so-called leaders in the West, I think these words describe them very well. They simply react, and they want to get a tweet out really fast, and they're slaves of the algorithms and of the mobs on Twitter, but they don't step back and say, you know, why is Hamas attacking now, and who's benefiting? Who benefits from Hamas attacking Israel? And we do clearly see, I mean, Russia, when they're at a point of significant weakness, they're smart, and they know the propaganda war. The Soviets were especially adept at that, and we at least need to consider, is Russia, even if they're militarily becoming weaker, are they playing the propaganda war exceptionally well, and are we being played?
Yeah, it's almost as if when you have success there in Ukraine, that doesn't translate into another reason for more support for Ukraine. However, and right now what you have going on in Israel and with the Israelis and Hamas is sort of a news video war where they're both showing these horrific scenes. And I know Israel in the past has had a policy to never show victims out of deference to the family. But now they're showing reporters some of this video that they got from body cams off of Hamas terrorists who were killed. They're showing that to reporters so reporters can convey these terrible, terrible scenes. And meanwhile, on the news last night from Gaza, there was this heartbreaking scene of a little girl buried in rubble that they were taking out, fortunately alive. So it really is a propaganda war, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the first thing for, you know, people trying to make sense of this is you have to say, is this information coming from a free society where there's an independent media? Because then you can trust it at a higher level. You don't have to trust it at all, but you can at least trust it at a higher level. But if it's coming from a society where there is no freedom, it's very difficult to trust that information. And so the burden really needs to be on Hamas, which, you know, I mean, has oppressed its people for, you know, as long as they've been in charge since 2007. And so while we look at these videos, and there have been some, and Ukrainians are paying attention to this because they've been victims of that Russian propaganda. And I mean, Russians are always putting out this type of propaganda. They had, there was a Russian, on Russian TV yesterday, they had a woman, they claimed this was Ukrainian media, and she was speaking that we need to have peace and no more war, and then she was cut off. Well, that broadcast came from Tajikistan. It was nothing to do with Ukraine. But in a society where there's no free speech, you can fool people very easily, and they think they can fool the West. This is so. I think we have to be very skeptical and analyze. Is this real information? Are there actors? What is happening? And that has to be our first, our first level of skepticism. And as we look at, you know, how this is effectively diverting attention from Ukraine, the foreign minister of Lithuania tweeted earlier today. He said the European Union promised Ukraine 1 million artillery rounds. So far, we have only delivered 300,000. This is the foreign minister of Lithuania. And then he said, meanwhile, North Korea has delivered 350,000 artillery rounds to Russia. We surely have the resources to outperform North Korea. We should stop being frozen in the headlines while brave Ukrainians die. And when we consider that, first, you know, again, we can never trust numbers regarding Russia and North Korea. So I don't know if it actually was that amount that North Korea delivered. But he's making the point that, you know, the West can do more. And, you know, even Ukraine has shown what they can do with these long-range weapons. But it's in Russia's interest to step back and let the world start to ignore this while Ukraine continues to bleed out. And one sort of very poignant example, there's one city in Ukraine with one block where there are two Italian cafes. And within 2 weeks, these are very popular places, gathering places where people figure out how to cooperate for victory. And one of them makes amazing limoncello. The other one, the chef, makes some of the best bread in the world. Both of those chef owners from Italian cafes on the same street in the same city were called up to fight in the same week. Hmm. And we do see that this is like that shows you how intense it is and how, you know, even yes, Ukraine is strong right now. But the longer this goes on, the country's going to bleed out if people don't realize sort of the propaganda games that are being played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and reminds me of a report I heard just the other day about the economy in Israel starting to suffer because everybody's gone to war. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, as usual, you make some very good points, especially that we should be asking that question regarding Hamas. Why did they do this now? We'll talk again tomorrow, Joseph. Thank you, as always.
Thank you both.